It's going, yep. All right. Well, I want to welcome everyone to the January 25th, 2023 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. We have a preliminary agenda before us. It is 1:15, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. And if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Flag is to the rear. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. So we have a draft agenda before us. I entertain a motion regarding said agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Now, the next session that we have, I think we have a guest with us today. We do have a public comment period before and after every meeting. And we've got Beverly Parsons. Beverly, do you have any comments or any public comment for the commission?
Thank you. No, I was here more just to listen and hear what was on the agenda today. So thank you very much.
Okay, very good. All righty. Looks like someone else is joining too. Mark Ryan. We're just going to wait just a second here too, because we have another participant. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Beverly, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you
good.
Fine.
Okay, good. Thank you. Just a sound check. We were having technical difficulties, so I wanted to make sure that that you could hear us. And then Mark Ryan, I see, is with us. And Mark, we've just started our meeting, and every meeting we have a pre-meeting public comment period and a post-meeting public comment period. Do you have any comments for the commission?
My audio is not working.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi. You can hear us though, right, Mark?
If he has questions, he can type them in.
Yeah. Do you want to type in a question real quick?
I see two chats.
Oh, he's connecting the audio.
Okay, well, we can always, if he wants to type his questions in, then we can address them at the other public comment period.
And Mark, it looks like you're muted.
Chat.
He's not on our end, is he?
No,
it's on his.
Yeah. You can hear us, good, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Can you unmute if you had a question for the commission or a comment? In your background.
So maybe you just want to hear all of the stuff going on.
Right. Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of chats there. Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what the chats are. Because
it's just all those messages that he just sent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Okay, oh. He's got his audio working, so he can, if he wants to, he can do it.
Okay.
All right, very good. Okay, we'll carry on. We do have another comment period toward the end of the meeting as well. All right. Well, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. I'll explain that these matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. Those 4 items include: approve the December 14th, 2022 regular meeting minutes; B, approve the January 3rd, 2023 work session meeting minutes; C, approve the January 10th, 2023 work session minutes; and then D, approve December 2022 warrants and EFT payments.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
And I second that.
Excellent. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Very good. So we have that completed. And now we're off to item 6, which is officer adoption. So as the presiding commission chair, announcing part of our regular rotation schedule, that the commission will adopt new positions for 2023. And for the year of 2023, the following platforms will be used. Commissioner McClure will serve as chair. Commissioner Granville will serve as vice chair. And Commissioner Heacock will serve as secretary. So, how will that work?
You just hand it to her.
I think we don't. We do a motion though for that, or
I don't
not?
I think there's a motion for it. Awesome. No, there's no motion.
In your direction. I will.
I can give you the celebratory keys.
We should have brought that gavel that we have in the office, but
that we never use.
That's okay. Maybe we'll have it for the next meeting.
With the owl, right?
Exactly. Well, I think at this point we're past the baton over, and if you want to run the rest of the meeting for us, that'd be great.
Great. And before we start, I wanted to move this to the court. This is a photograph by Johnny Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Very candid. Uh-huh. And I truly love it, and I feel like it belongs.
That's nice.
That's pretty cool. Great view. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you look awesome. At the detail on it, it's amazing.
We'll put it up in the. I don't know if you guys can see that, but I'll. Okay, where do I go? I guess
right here, Greg. Yeah.
There's a photo that we'll put up in the port office.
Oh, right, that turns out
that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Look at the mountains in the background. That's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Out the finger.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll put that up before. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Yeah. Johnny is Walker is not only an amazing photographer, but he has also been a steadfast member of the Kingston business community. He's now moved his office down to Fallsboro.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Excuse me, Bremerton.
Bremerton, right.
And I wish him well and appreciate having gotten this from
him. Yeah, that's great.
Very cool.
The detail. It's
we don't get to see it
very
from that
clear
angle.
Picture.
No.
We're always on the inside,
right?
Not looking from the outside.
Yeah.
That's great. Really.
Well, I guess that was an action item. We don't need to.
Right. No. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is action items, and we don't have any listed, and we didn't make any changes to the agenda to add some. So let's go to discussion items. And the first item is legislative session letter, which I presume is a copy in here. And Greg, do you want to talk a little bit about that? I know we talked about it in the work session yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but you could describe.
Sure. So we're going to submit a letter from the Port Commission, and there are five items that we're asking the legislature to consider for funding, and they are SR 104 holding lane and active traffic management system funding. And we originally came up with an estimate of $1.8 million, and that did not include any environmental mitigation. So we know that the county has received a grant for, or has funding for about $1.4 million of it. So we're asking the state legislature to fund the remaining $400,000 plus another $200,000 to $350,000 for environmental mitigation. The second item that we're going to ask that they fund is traffic control, and that is funded through the Washington State Patrol. We understand that they can't necessarily just earmark $600,000 to $700,000 that they need to fund the Washington State Patrol. They just fund the budget for the Washington State Patrol, and Washington State Patrol in turn has to allocate those funds to traffic control for the Kingston Ferry traffic. But that's our ask, our second ask. The third request is for funding of SR 104 realignment project, and that was estimated quite a number of years ago at $18.5 million. So that could be need to be reevaluated by them, but that's what we asked, was just to fund the SR 104 realignment. There was money that was already funded for the right of way and for acquisition of some of the properties of SR 104 to accomplish this task. But this would be the follow-on to that.
Right.
The fourth item is the infrastructure necessary for electrification of the ferry system in the Kingston Terminal. And the fifth item is to fund an assessment of the Kingston Terminal for seismic and earthquake resilience. So those are the five items that we're going to submit to the state legislature. And we know that they're already in legislative session, and so time is a little bit of the essence, but we're going to also submit this, what our request is, to our other, we had five partner agencies that we undertook that $500,000 grant that did the assessment on the SR-14 holding lane and active traffic management system project for the definition. And so that would be, we'll submit this to the Washington State Department of Transportation, our partner there, our partner Washington State Ferries, obviously, Kitsap County, and Kitsap Transit for their review, and if they have any comments, and maybe they'll also respond to see what their asks are for the legislature. It'd be kind of just good, it'd be important just to start having an ongoing dialogue so that we all have similar priorities. Even though we may disagree on what the priority should be, obviously we want to represent the Kingston interest, but just so we align that going forward in the future, I think it would help for the legislators. Mm-hmm. So that's it, and then that will come from the Port Commission, and we'll submit that by Tuesday, probably next week, end of business. And we'll submit that to everybody for comment by the end of this week to our partner agencies.
Right. I've got a quick question. Did you... I know we weren't 100% on the dollar values or the dollar amounts in that. Did you find out the?
I don't have exact, but we're just going to have to qualify them and say they're estimated.
Yeah.
Really the agencies that are going to be responsible for it are going to have to come up with the budget and the estimate. If WashDOT's doing the work or Kitsap County was doing the work, they're really ultimately going to have to make that determination. But at least it gets kind of on the docket and they can see what our priorities are, and then they'll have to fit it in with everything.
Yeah.
It'll just be an ongoing, they'll bake it into the cake, I think, as they go forward. But that way they'll see what our priorities are. And then we'll also publish this, ultimately on our website, and we'll just make it more transparent to everybody in the community, like this, what our priorities, that we believe the priorities are, and then the community can weigh in and say yay or nay, or what they see, and also then there's also, if we get comments back, it'll be interesting to see what the county or the state, what their priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully this will start get wrapped into the Kitsap County's transportation plan as well, so when they publish their TIP, they may not include ours because it's really driven by their priorities, but it would be nice if it gets onto their list. So even if it's not funded, that it starts, we see this as it maintained going forward onto their list of projects.
Great.
So one question, the electrification assessment for terminal. You mentioned WSF. I would imagine that Kitsap Transit would also be part of that conversation.
Yes. Yep. I think the electrification, though, is that, you know, the state has publicly stated that they are going to electrify these vessels in some of the terminals, and that they've allocated about 50% of the funding, and it's rolled into also the redevelopment of the actual boats. You know, they're going to replace the vessels or they're going to electrify them.
Right.
So, whereas I know that they have it in their state capital program, and this is state legislature, Kitsap Transit, they should, you know, they also may want to electrify their vessels, but they have so far, they've said they may eventually, but not currently. They're not really pushing that agenda.
But they would roll
into their program too, because they're adjacent. Yeah. So if they ever wanted to, it would make sense just to put that capacity in.
Yeah.
You're right, absolutely.
Okay. So we'll look forward to seeing a final draft at the end of the meeting.
Yes. Exactly. At the end of the meeting.
And the second item, do you have any more questions, Laura, Steve?
No.
Is the county comprehensive plan and our participation in that?
So this is just a discussion item. I think that's really, you know, important per commission direction, I think we all do, but you've kind of directed staff to take a look at the comp plan and the process. And we started undertaking this, you know, a few years ago where we were trying to rezone our own current properties and we were looking at the use tables. So the use tables we kind of went through and we did get a change to that so that we changed the zoning from neighborhood commercial to urban village center for our properties, which is consistent with the adjacent properties downtown, and that will allow for potential development down the road. But the comp plan, you know, that's an overarching effort that's undertaken in Kitsap County. So they're going to schedule a series of open houses all through February to discuss the alternatives. And they've solicited for changes to the comprehensive plan the county has. And you can, the changes being considered include the comprehensive plan, which would include the sub-area plan and the goals and policies especially. And I think that's where we're probably going to put most of our effort. But if you read the website, they have actually opened it up to almost everything where normally, like use tables and some of these things, they weren't going to consider. When you read the website, it gives a little bit different information. It does say that they'll entertain anything. So, and given the fact that some of the dialogues have been in the bulk and dimension for the buildings, so whereas, you know, I would have thought that was off the table to discuss, I think everything is out there. Mm-hmm. And part of their motivation for that is it's going to change. They're only going to go every 10 years now for a comp plan review.
10 years.
Yeah.
So it's 6 years currently, and this is what we're doing for 2024. But given that, I think the county decided that they're more open to discussing, but not everything is on the table.
Right.
So they are looking at the urban growth area definition. They've even discussed openly about height restrictions. So I think just about everything is out there, but they're going to be just, but these components are the comp plan and the capital facilities, reclassification of land use, and development regulations, which is land use code, which we would have thought was not on the table. Because partly because they just completed a use table review. Mm-hmm. So specifically, we want to change the goals and policies under the economic development. Part of the sub-area plan is economic development, transportation, and land use. But the community and Kitsap Citizen or Kitsap Community Advisory Committee, they're considering all aspects of the comp plan because they also have housing and other. There's like 9 or 10. But our focus is mainly economic development, transportation because we're a transportation hub, and land use. So we're going to kind of lay out why do we want it to happen. You know, what needs to change and what needs to be done in order to make it happen. So we're going to get, even though normally I think that we're all kind of a little bit reticent of prescribing what needs to happen. That was kind of the ask from the county when we met with them. They said, go ahead, put it out there, and then we'll at least we'll consider it. So it'll get some analysis on their end for their staff. Mm-hmm. So for just as an example, I'm not saying we haven't put our recommendations together yet, and these things are going to evolve like all through February because of all the open meetings. So we'll, as we gather more information from people in the community as well as the KCAC advisory committee, these things will evolve. But just as an example, we might want to require a storefront zone, or we might say we increase the height limits so that we can increase densification, or you could even require residential above the first floor. You could say, well, they want to increase the population and increase the densification of the population, so you might want to say, well, we're going to require that you actually have apartments or condos above the first floor. Mm-hmm. But we want to promote a commercial district. And so there's different ways to accomplish the goals from the GMA, which is the Growth Management Act. And one thought process is, well, you increase the population and they have population goals to increase the population. Another is to increase the number of jobs. We don't think it's either or, but we don't think that residential and population should be increased just at the expense or precluding us from commercial obligations, which also generate tax revenue. So some of the outcomes that we might want to entertain are, you know, we encourage commercial development in Kingston, and not just passively, but proactively have goals and policies that really explicitly support that. Increase our expectations for job creation and promote focused or even aggressive goals and policies in Kingston. Promote tourism is potentially another cornerstone. But again, the theme is not just passively, but really put in policies and goals that really proactively implement these goals and attract tourism. I think the overall goal is they're trying to develop tax revenue to support the level of services and amenities desired by the community, just as we are. And so we need to create goals and policies that lead to that end, and the assumption is that would ultimately lead to incorporation. So we will discuss the comp plan at the next series of work sessions, and probably through the beginning of March. And the work sessions are held on Tuesdays at 8:30 at the court offices. We may move them to another venue if we experience larger turnout from the community. And I think a really key resource is the link to the Kitsap County's website for the comprehensive plan. And that can be found at www.kitsapgov.com/DCD/pages and then /comprehensive plan update. That's kind of the key web page, landing page. Mm-hmm. And then you can see the county really laid out what they're looking for and what's on the table. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions?
Awesome.
Is that helpful?
Thank you, Greg.
That's very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe you want to also address now the financial report.
So we don't have any financials prepared for this month because we're doing year end, which requires a lot of accruals and different things for SAL. So we will have, in February, we'll have both January and February month financials, as well as a good kind of wrap up.
Or SAO is State Auditing Office.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. Thank you. I use those acronyms like everybody should know. But yeah, so we will have that all prepared for you next month.
Okay. And if I might add, just so that like Beverly and Parsons and Mark Ryan, just so you know, we're undergoing the State Audit Office. That's a three-year audit. We're just concluding that three-year audit right now. And so all of our financials will be audited, and we'll publish all those results on our website. And if you want to sign up, we can, you send us an email. You go on the landing page on the Port of Kingston and go to the very bottom. You can sign up for automatic notifications. You're not going to get many, but you're going to get notifications for any of our meetings, and you can, you know, in anything that we publish, you'll kind of get a notification of important critical things. So we don't inundate you with emails, but you will get critical emails so you can actually attend these meetings, if that's helpful.
Right, and I also wanted to mention...
Thanks for the
Great.
The audit. Yes, I signed up for notification.
Oh, good.
It was very helpful.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Beverly.
And just so you know, too, the reason we haven't been updating financials on our website is because they were unaudited and we were kind of in a place where we wanted to get things really cleaned up.
Yep.
So we will be posting our annual reports for 2019, 2020, and 2021. And then moving forward, we will update our financials on probably a quarterly basis.
Mm-hmm,
it's,
mm-hmm.
I'll kind of let you guys decide how often you want that to happen, with a little more robust package. So, we'll give you some examples and recommendations of what you want to see out on our website.
Great, because I think sometimes people are overwhelmed by financial statements.
Yeah, so I want to
come up with a very simple summary form that basically talks about income, expenses, mm-hmm. etc.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of got to know your audience. And so, you know, where we may look into the minutiae, others may not want to see that. So I want to make sure everybody's comfortable with what we do publish. And the annual reports can be a little bit, I know I've gone through them a million times, but they are a good overview of the port and talks about our entity and kind of how things work. So it's, you know, good nighttime reading.
I think in a nutshell, though, sometimes people just want to know, well, one, it's really critical to have audited financials. So then that is the basis. So if we ever were to go to borrow, if we're going to bonding, that is the audited, that's the basis for anybody to look at the port and look at our performance. Then going forward, until they're audited again, they're unaudited financials, but they will be robust, and we will know that. You know, and there's going to be things that we have to improve upon for sure. I don't, you know, hopefully we don't have any findings. You know, I don't think we will. I think Audra and Stacy did such an exceptional job, and they went back through the past 3 years and did just an extraordinary job of bringing them current and giving the auditors all the information that they wanted. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It just is what it is. I think, you know, so I really
tip
my hat to them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good.
Looking forward to the update after the exit interview.
Yes.
So Steve, I'm sure, will be letting us know maybe next Tuesday and then at the next regular meeting too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What the results were. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, we can all look forward to that.
Yes.
Well, I think we all know that the port has been more robust financially overall the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Especially given the time that we're in right now.
Right. It's important.
Shifting patterns of parking, shifting this, shifting that. So.
And, right. And for any decisions you want to make, you know, for example, we'll be updating the cash flow model for the actuals and then moving forward, you know, and we'll layer on as we do asset replacements and things like that. So we've learned a lot through the process, and it's exciting the more we can provide for you guys to make decisions and decide what's best for the port and the community especially.
Yeah, awesome.
Any other questions?
No.
Cool. Well, that leads us to our second public comment period, and we'd be quite interested in any comments, observations, or questions you may have.
This is Beverly. I'll just say that I'm very pleased to hear that you're focused on working with the county on a comprehensive plan and working out those issues. I think there's a lot of important intersections on the economic development, transportation, and especially affordable housing mm-hmm. and adequate jobs for middle to low income people in the Kingston area. So I appreciate your working on those issues.
Thank you.
Mark, did you have any comments? iPhone person? Okay.
Could the iPhone user please identify themselves?
Say what?
She wants to know the name of the iPhone person.
It's always nice to know who's attending, but I mean, you don't have.
Excuse me, this is Tony Hitchman. Well,
Tony. Oh, Tony. Hi, Tony.
Well, yes, Mark, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Mark,
looks like Mark does. What do you have, Mark?
So are you typing or are you going to want to say
I think he's chatting it, maybe. Yeah.
He's using the chat.
But it's not popping up, though.
It did for a second there.
She's going to go over and look and see, but I think those are the last two comments we saw.
Yes,
he said, yes,
question.
I have a question, so he's probably typing it.
What does it say?
Okay.
He says, yes, I have a question.
He's trying to unmute.
See, everyone's...
We hear you. Yeah. I mean, we don't hear
you.
We
know
you. Right. We understand, I guess.
It might not just be unmuting. It might be turning up the volume on your
Yeah, try computer. The volume on the computer, too, sometimes.
He's got it muted still.
But it says muted.
I can
ask to unmute.
No, it just said ask to unmute.
Oh, maybe. Try that. Try hitting that. Oh, there.
There he goes.
There
we go.
There you are.
Are you there, Mark?
He probably needs to turn up the volume of his computer then if we can't hear him.
So.
If you're speaking, Mark, we can't hear you.
Oh, you can also type your question.
Yeah, if you could type it. That's no fun, though, having to type.
Especially if it's a complicated question.
Yeah. One that has imprecision.
Yeah. There we go. Status of the danger tree removal permit for the dog park.
Real quickly, we're waiting for the county to conduct the review. We know that it's on their desk, and it's been sitting on their desk, so we're kind of going at, no pun intended, we're bird dogging them to try to get a response to get us so we can get that done.
Okay.
Beverly's gone.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It is.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Well, that leads us to commissioner reports. And, Drew, will you make sure that when we hear back from the county on the dog park stuff, you bring that up in the next meeting?
I was able to get my permit within 3 days.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So, Chair Grunball, would you like to start?
You mean Vice Chair?
Yes. I didn't want the Vice next to your name.
Your chair. I don't have much of a report. I was able to attend, I've been able to attend the Kiwanians meetings, and I attended the Chamber After Hours, which I think was the best one attended so far. It was at
TG.
Thank you. The recycling, the people that took over Randy Can and their DTG recycling.
Yep.
And that was really nice. The person that actually provided food was the man that's... wanting to open, I think he actually, his wife does things at the farmer's market, but he wants to open in the old mercantile, a little cottage restaurant, but I don't know how that's going right now, but his food is very good. It is very, very good food.
Old Pie Wagon.
Yes.
That's the name of the business.
Yeah. Which isn't about the market, it's
somewhere else. Exactly, but yeah, so that's very short, sweet update, yes.
Is that the place with the little wood people out front?
Yes.
Yes, but they're having, the county's told them they need to put in a new septic. So we'll see where that goes.
Or connect to sewer.
Salty Sailor is going in there.
That is not the same, that's a Salty Sailor.
Yeah.
But the catering business is the Ye Olde Pie Wagon, which will be at the Salty Sailor.
Right.
Okay.
Establishment. Yeah.
Good to see those things being used.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It'd be nice to see something go in there.
Yeah.
So, Secretary Steve.
Okay. Very good. Well, I have been pretty busy this month, actually. There are an awful lot of subcommittee meetings in relation to the comprehensive plan. So I've been attending both the transportation group of that subset and also the land use and environment subcommittee, of which there's a meeting today as well. There's a Zoom meeting at 4 o'clock today that I'll be attending. But they're going over the comprehensive plan and really focusing on, their efforts are focusing on this Kingston sub-area plan and putting all sorts of new concepts, you know, into those particular planning documents, which I think is great. The other thing that I've got going on is, of course, involvement with the Parks, Trails, and Open Space subcommittee of KCAC as well, and there's a couple of efforts that are going on that they are also contributing to more of the transportation element with off-street trails and connectivity of the public so that people can safely transmit through the community without having to be on an actual road. So it's some really interesting things that are going on with that too. So other than that, you know, our regular commission meetings and that type of thing. But that's in a nutshell.
Okay. My report is that I can tell you cataract surgery is a good thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I am going to be involved with All Ports and meeting the new WPPA executive director.
Oh, good. You're going to make it to that.
Go.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
And we're alive again.
That's really great. That's really cool. Able to meet him at the last conference, but it's really great that you're able to go down there and meet him in person. Yeah, and he's supposed to come to our port eventually.
Eventually. Probably not his first priority, but
no.
He's in there somewhere. And Greg, what is the committee that you're involved with WPPA?
The Marina Committee.
The what?
The Marina Committee.
Marina Committee, so you'll probably have lots of interaction with him.
Yeah, he's, I think he's going to be, right now it's legislative session, so they're pretty much, I'm surprised they even have the meet and greet, but because he just started, I think they're trying to get him out. And so the regional meeting for him will be held at the Port of Allen this Friday. So I really appreciate you going to that. I can't make it. Mm-hmm. But the I did get to talk to him a little bit. I think, you know, he came out of the Port of Seattle. He's got a pretty deep experience. And he's actually grew up on, don't hold this against him, but he grew up on Bainbridge. But at least he's really familiar with this area. So he's like, well, you know, the peninsula is really kind of how I grew up, you know, so he knows. So, whereas, you know, I think it's to the detriment of the east side port, sadly, but it's our favor. I think he'll do a great job.
That's great. So are they fully staffed now, the WPPA?
Currently, they're fully staffed. They had one position they've eliminated for the current period, and then we'll see if they're going to reestablish it or not.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
So,
they have the environmental. They do have environmental job. Actually, I should say
they put out a bid for that. I think.
Yeah. So that takes us to staff reports. Tori.
The last one. From the maintenance side of things, we got through the last freeze pretty good. Lost a couple pipe fittings, but that was quickly replaced, and now we're just having to go through and remove old busted up spalled concrete and to re-pour new. So it's beyond trying to fix the old stuff anymore. We just have to take it out, and that's mainly on the guest dock. There's three main sections that we're going to tackle starting February 6th. Looks like it's going to be cold next week, and then it's going to be tulips and spring weather from there on in, I guarantee it. We just need we need it to be above 40 to make the concrete here, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And calm waters. The way, when you pour concrete on these styrofoam-filled floats, if it's windy, it's just going to mess stuff up. So there's a little bit of, or a few things against this, but we're going to start February 6th. And hopefully by the end of the week, we'll have those sections off and poured and be ready for yacht club season. And that's kind of where we're focusing now. They're just getting Christmas lights down and tagged and ready for repairs. And Christmas will start again in April.
Right.
And when do you think of the yacht club season starting?
Looks like February 16th, I think, is the weekend of the Edmonds. Is that right, Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's...
We had a Bellevue in January.
Yeah.
And then we have Edmonds in February, which they will be a large group. They have over 20 coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, once it hits March, there'll be more than a handful per month for the rest of the year.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. Good job.
That's it. Other than just day-to-day maintenance.
Audra?
So we're kind of doing our goal setting for the year, working with management, and one thing that we're going to be focusing on is our line of business reporting. We have it kind of laid out, but hasn't been vetted through Greg yet, so that's important to do that, and then share with all of you once we kind of make sure everything is in its right place. But we're also breaking out the assets, everything, so that you'll truly see by line of business what's profitable and what's not, and even allocating our G&A out. So we're pretty excited to do it. I think it is a really telling tool. And I know a lot of the other ports do it, and it's kind of standard in the business. So I'm excited to be able to provide that to you.
That's great.
G&A is?
General Administrative.
Yeah, General Administrative. I'm sorry. I'll stop doing that, Mary.
No, you're not going to. None of us will. So I'm going to keep asking.
Oh, yeah. At least I didn't say lob reporting. I also said that line of business.
When I came on as a commissioner, I remember one of the first things I said was, I need a list.
Right?
It has all these
standard,
on it, what they
standard
mean.
Acronyms.
Yeah. Yeah, all the acronyms that you guys are using.
Yes. Yep. I try really hard to not do that, knowing my audience, so I'll do better.
Yeah, I'm really aware of there being...
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And,
So.
Okay, so Rose, did you have anything you wanted to report?
Yeah, we've just been working hard on all the beginning of the year projects, the renewing agreements, and just going over all of those and tightening them up. The wait list, the deadline is the 31st, so I've been working on that. We've got an extensive wait list. Ashley's been working hard on retention, getting it all transferred over to electronic files from 2022 and prior. The yacht clubs, we have 33 booked so far for 2023, which is as many as we had in 2022.
Wow, that's great.
The first month of the year.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a good year for yacht clubs for sure. I know a month or so ago you guys touched on compliance, and we've been hitting that really hard. So we're down to only 2 outdated insurances and less than 30 registrations, which is way down from the last time we reported on that to you guys. And more are coming in every day because Ray, Ash, and I have been working really diligently to get that in compliance. I'm excited for the audit to end, to work with Stacy and Audra again on a bunch of different, I've got a whole list of projects.
Yay!
We've had a lot of improvements last year, and I'm ready to keep going on all those. And I'm just excited for the winter. Is always, we buckle down and work on projects, but the peak season is fun and it's busy, so I'm ready for it to be spring and be busy.
Well, I think between that and Corey's promise that it's not going to get under 40.
That's right.
Yeah.
All should be good. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I've got.
Rainbows and tulips.
Okay, great.
So I think the only thing I really want to report on the chamber is I think they're really doing just extraordinarily well. I think you know, hiring Kylie, and she's just done such a really extraordinary job,
yeah,
taking over from me and Kate, and coming out a little bit coming out of COVID. You know, I think it's really helped overall. But I'd say that the chamber currently is, since I've been around, which isn't that long really, they're the strongest that they've ever been in terms of actually all the things are getting in place that they need to. So they've reached over 100 members, paying members. There was a lot of people, you know, that were members but weren't really paying a membership. So that's financially, you know, their budget, I think they're going to be able to have money to be able to put in reserves actually, which I think is really critical. So Kylie, she actually applied for, she asked for a lot, you know, the moon, but she did get $86,000 almost from the lodging tax committee. Rob Gelder was sitting in on part of that committee, and so I do want to really thank Commissioner Gelder for what he did there. But she's got $86,000, and our budget basically for the chamber is around $95,000 generally for the year.
That's great.
So, you know, having over, you know, well over 100 is really, really important. You start off January 1st. So that's really getting ahead of the curve, but I think it's really what they're actually producing is critical. I think she's producing a lot more value, mm-hmm. and I see the businesses and people are attending the after hours, and there's just a lot more participation. The board is really a great board, and I think they're much more active and really engaged. And we're, you know, same thing, we're kind of getting our ducks in a row, like a lot of the businesses are starting to start, I hope that more businesses get strengthened after COVID. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I think the chamber is going to be part of that. So mm-hmm. I know we say we report back on the chamber, and I just really, really think they're probably in the best place ever. They've also taken over the management of the concerts in the Cove. So that takes some work off of our plate to do all that. And she also managed Christmas in the Cove. So these are things that are really big undertakings. We still work with her on all of these things, right? But really good job. And I tip my hat also to the board members, because the Wine and Brew Fest was really successful the past 2 years, and just going to keep improving. So the Chamber's done a super great job, and I really, really want to thank them for what they've done. And that concludes my report.
Excellent. Oh, should we roll in Mark?
Absolutely.
He's working on.
Oh, well, I'm kind of a part-timer, you know. But yeah, I'm working with Greg on just a whole host of things. One thing is the commercial development proposal. That's moving on to kind of a phase of pre-design now with things that we have to think about. Amongst them is the location and design of the new restroom, because that's top of the list. We have RCO money to help get that done, and so we need to get that going and get the permitting straightened out. So that's one thing. Then we've got also the RCO grant for the transient floats, I think is the way we've talked about it. And there's some significant issues with those, because they're not a typical float where you put pilings in the ground and anchor them, because these are transient, you can move them around, so they don't quite fit the mold for the regulatory agencies, including the county. So we've got to deal with shoreline permit, whether we have to deal with shoreline permits, SEPA, hydraulics permit, those kind of things with mm-hmm. fish and wildlife. So we're working on those. And seems to me there's a couple other things that are hanging out there.
Yeah, there's a longer list.
Got quite a list of things that we need to push along.
Are the transient floats where Sail Kingston Cove operates out of?
That's a form of the transient float. In fact, in the project design that we put together is a replacement of those floats as part of that project.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly the same configuration we have now, but equal surface area. So, and these new floats, you can ballast to any depth, so you can set them up any way you want.
Mm-hmm.
And will those be in place the springtime?
No.
I know I would ask.
We've just struggled. I mean, the first thing, just not making excuses, but you know, first thing to struggle with is what's your project? Well, we went in thinking we were going to get let's just say 10 floats. And then we're working with the Port of Friday Harbor, as you know, with an interlocal agreement where they're building their own floats. And the pricing is so good, we may end up with maybe up to 40 floats for the same amount of money. Well, that then, the whole permitting world changes. The scope of the project has changed. And so that's what keeps kicking us back to making early decisions on things. So we're working on that, but got to get going on it.
The regulatory agencies tend to want you to fit into their definition. And so when you do something that's outside the definition, doesn't mean it's outside. It means they want you to conform to their definition.
They keep trying to rope you back in.
Right. And so, but that means that would be a huge change. That would be like a permanent structure, which these aren't permanent. They're seasonal. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't fit the mold for what they're asking for. But that doesn't mean we should have to fit that mold. And it has been allowed historically, but then things keep changing. They keep tightening and tightening and tightening. And so
one key meeting is a discussion with State Fish and Wildlife on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on what we hear there. Then the next decision is shoreline permit, same issue. We're not constructing on or over the water. It's like floating a boat out there. So is that drive a shoreline permit? Yes, no. All the other thresholds are met, but so one thing.
Yeah, so are there any concerns in reference to the RCO grant in the timeline for using it?
We're obviously behind, but RCO is usually pretty generous at extending those. We do have to deal with RCO. We've got a project, we know what we want to do, we need to deal with it both on the bathroom and the floats.
Yep.
Because as you know, in the bathroom, we were ready to go one direction.
Right.
And the county couldn't guarantee that they would approve our design.
Right.
Because it was an as-built. So now we're back to having an architect's design, and also we're moving into the shoreline area.
Okay.
So we're ready to do what we have to do if we can figure out if it's doable.
And the design and the location is integrated now into the, like if we were to, you know, set ourselves up for overall commercial development of the area, then you would move the bathroom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then that triggers, you know, well, if we're going to do it, we should integrate it into the overall development. And we have the same architect, so there's continuity there.
And I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that if the bathroom, if we get a design, we're pushing that on the meeting on Friday too, we can get a pre-design done on that. We can get it into the county for permitting, on and on and on. And I think it's safe to say that if that's moving ahead, it could be there independent of the rest of the commercial development. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different location.
Mm-hmm. But it would be integrated into the site plan that they've already come up with.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have an opportunity to talk about the site plan and whether there's commercial on that side of the region, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, this is just
I don't want to confuse things.
Yeah,
it's just that we've got an architect on board, so if we got to do a stick built building, should have them do it. So we've got a separate contract to do that. The restroom will be a standalone project. As Greg said, though, it will be poised to be integrated to the larger thing if that happens.
Okay.
Yeah, whereas we were doing the bathroom separate, then when we talked to them and the stuff that they've kind of presented to you and other people about the, you know, in the public meeting, you know, about here's the site plan, well, then they moved, they said, well, that we don't like that. We don't want it there. We want to move it over to here.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, that makes sense. We totally get that. So if we're going to do it, then we'll just move it, but that means it's changed and we got to, you know, adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, you know, but that way, whatever it is, it's integrated into an overall or of a overall plan. So it looks exactly what you guys saw before. They just moved it over, but that does change. And we don't do the prefab, pre-engineered, you know, off-the-shelf bathroom because of the, you know, couldn't get the confirmation. We can't buy a $150,000 bathroom and then it's not approved.
Correct.
Because it doesn't meet the design standards.
Yep.
That was the rub.
That was the rub that came.
So now we'll meet the design standards and have an architect design it to the standards of the county.
Yeah.
We do need to go back to RCO. So.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that anyone share, touch on?
No.
Okay. I think that leads us to a statement about our next regular meeting, which is Wednesday, February 22nd at 6:30 p.m. It's a hybrid meeting, Zoom, or attend in person at the Village Green Community Center. And that is February 22nd. And with that, we are adjourned at 2:12.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I shall second that.
We'll all vote.
Aye.
Good job.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks,
Mark.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Oh.
Feel free to reach out to me.